The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'll be your host tonight, as always, for PWU, but not forever, because there are things planned in the future, but we can't talk about them right now.
It's your surgery.
Well, yeah. Well, not only that, but we had talked before about maybe doing some special interviews in the future, which Mr. Asa Gray, the five-star man who's down at the end of the table, is going to kind of take a leading position on some of those.
Yeah, we're going to try.
I'm excited about that. Asa is here, of course. Hello, Asa.
Hello.
Five-star man. And to my right, volatile Ali Hebert.
Hi.
You could have gone with the sassy representative.
Oh, again. The representative of SASS?
Yeah.
From SASS County?
Saskatchewan.
In Saskatchewan. Ali Hebert. Hi, Ali.
Hello.
Ignore the phone. That's just more fans trying to get involved with Podzilla, and we're not going to listen to it.
They want their own pop vinyl like we have now.
Yes. Well, everyone except Mandy, who had to design her own because she was so upset. And to my left, the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
All right, guys. Before we get into the terrible news, let's start off with something happy. Asa, you just busted this out on us right before the show. I had read about it a little bit earlier, and I meant to mention it. Congratulations to Daniel and Bree. They had their kid.
Yes.
With a – what is the name of this kid again? Birdie?
Birdie.
Daniel picked that.
Probably.
I can almost guarantee you Daniel picked that. But we are very excited about it, and
Yeah, it's not often we get the good news.
Yeah.
To talk about, so.
We're gonna follow this right up with, terrible news, but, real quick, do you have any info on that?
No, it's just like it happened like 3 hours ago.
Oh.
Was the, announcement made on WWE, so.
Well, other than that, let's jump into the bad news now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Braun Strowman.
Yep.
Please tell us about Braun Strowman. I'll be right back.
Elbow injury, that happened during the overseas tour. Could be out 4 to 8 weeks. So it's not like a huge one. It's, you know, he's not out for months on end, which is good and would have totally killed his momentum. They even addressed it on Raw. Like they gave him a storyline reason for it with Roman attacking him with a steel chair, like wrapped around the ring post.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's coming at the worst time.
Yeah. Cause the dude's on a hot streak.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for sure.
8 weeks. I don't know when Great Balls of Fire is.
Isn't it July?
It's July, but I don't know like if it's at the end of July or beginning of July.
You can't even say that title without giggling.
I don't want to say it.
It's the dumbest title.
It's going to be it's going to be the PWU pay-per-view review.
Just the name.
just
reviewing the name. Here's
minus
spoiler
five
alert.
Stars.
It sucks. Yeah. I don't understand the I know this is off topic, but I don't understand the thinking on Great Balls of Fire. It makes no sense on any level.
It's July, which would be fireworks.
Then you know what?
Oh, you're really stretching.
Yeah.
You're really stretching.
I'm going to
start calling you Mrs.
Summer.
Armstrong over here.
They've had great titles for pay-per-views in July. The Great American Bash.
But
The Bash. I like The Bash more than Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, but
I like anything more than Great Balls of Fire.
But why do they not like to use those titles? I can almost guarantee it's because it's WCW.
Yeah.
Great American Bash and Bash at the Beach, all WCW
pay-per-views
that they
lifted.
Great
American Bash until like 2009.
Yeah, and then did they still
then
do it?
They stop.
Yeah.
But I'm just that
because they
still
want to come up with their own IPs. They want to have their own names, like the
Great Balls of Fire,
which is definitely a thing that Vince came up with.
He thought of that. Well, that's a new song he just heard on the radio the other day. Yeah, it's a hot song.
Yep.
Real hot. See, I'm bummed out about Braun Strowman because I'm one of the people that wasn't on board with him initially. When he came in with the Wyatts, I thought he was a replacement for Luke Harper. I've said it on the show before, and I'm such a big fan of Luke Harper that I didn't want anyone to usurp him, whatever.
Right.
But Braun Strowman really became his own person when he went to Raw following the draft.
Yeah.
Like, he's become the monster that Vince always wanted.
He's become the best part of Raw.
By far.
Yeah.
And that's a loaded show. You got the Hardys on there.
Cesaro, Sheamus, Cruiserweights.
Kevin and Jericho.
No longer.
But he was still
there. But they were
there. Yeah.
But neither of them are on Raw now, right? They both went to SmackDown.
Yeah, they're both on SmackDown.
Well, Jericho isn't anymore because he got destroyed.
He's still a member of the SmackDown roster.
Yeah. Like The Undertaker was when he wrestled for all the Raw pay-per-views.
Yep. Well, the one WrestleMania.
Yeah. Great Balls of Fire, Asa.
He made, like, because the we talked about last week, Brock Lesnar is set to have his first title defense in July at Great Balls of Fire.
Which was probably going to be against Strowman. Braun Strowman. Yeah.
So, I mean, they did a thing on, Steve Austin had his show with, Court Lauer, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. It was a good interview except for one thing where they went over the segment where it was Seth Rollins, Miz, Ambrose, and, Balor. And talking about how they all had a claim at the Universal Championship. And Court Lauer was talking about like, oh yeah, no, it's great. Look at all these. There's so many viable contenders to Brock's title. There's all sorts of guys that he can face. And I got annoyed because I'm like, but he won't. He might wrestle two of those guys. Maybe. So, I mean, they could always kind of shoehorn Balor in because he technically never lost the championship. And we could get the first ever rematch for the Universal Championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also don't want to see any of those guys fight
just
Lesnar.
Get demolished by Brock Lesnar.
Because, I mean, I'm sure Finn Balor would get in some offense. Like, I'm sure they wouldn't just bury him completely. But at the end of the day, he's taking the F5. Yeah. He's going to Suplex City.
Yep.
Probably 40 to 50 times.
It's the same thing. Like, you've already had Braun Strowman back away from, like, back down from Lesnar. So. Right.
And the way they presented Lesnar versus the way they presented everybody else, would I ever buy Miz as a viable contender to Brock Lesnar?
No.
No. Balor? Even Balor? No. He's so small. And I don't believe that personally. But the way they've built it up, he's so small. How's he going to beat Brock Lesnar?
I think Balor would be believable only because they've sold the demon gimmick so hard.
If the demon shows up,
if he went to WWE and they said you're never touching Payne again, then I'd be like, yeah, no, Balor would never stand a chance against Lesnar. But now that they built this up so much, and now that it's not even the demon anymore, it's the demon king.
Yeah, he's the demon king when he got up.
Yeah, when he comes out first, and then Lesnar comes out with his own like just full body makeup.
Yeah, just
I would like that.
But it's just him. Like, he makeupped himself.
He painted himself onto his chest.
It's like Steve-O when he got the tattoo of himself.
Yeah.
It's just Brock Lesnar painted up like Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would rather him have, like, a Predator paint with the mask.
Mm-hmm.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But what do I know? I thought Brock Lesnar should have played Eddie Brock in Spider-Man movie.
Better than Topher Grace.
He looks like Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is slap some latex on him, and he's Venom.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Strowman's out for 4 to 8 weeks, and that sucks, but I think they'll do something with him.
Yeah, like, I think over time. They even had him technically, like, wrestle on Raw.
Right.
So.
With one arm behind his back, or one arm behind the sling.
Well, cause he, like, he even kind of backed down from Kalisto, which is annoying. I don't know.
Strowman should not be played as the chicken shit heel.
I don't think that match actually happened, cause I think Roman Reigns just beat, like, that's when the attack happened. It was, like, right when that match started, or if it hadn't started yet. But yeah, he's like, oh, I don't need to wrestle you. I could beat you unarmed, but I'm not gonna. It's like, well, you just said you could, so do it.
You know who Strowman reminds me a lot of? Roger Mathis. Mathis? Is it Mathis or Matthews?
Mathis.
I always want to say Matthews because the way it's spelled.
With
the U? It's got an EU in it, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to say EUS, but I know that's not right. But I think those two really do have a lot in common. Like, he is the big guy in stride, and he comes across as that just ass-kicking bad guy who gives no Fs.
So legit.
Yeah.
Like,
just a legit tough guy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you have, like, Dexter Roswell. You have Maximum Overdrive. You have the guys that are bad guys, and they do a very good job of it. But there's something different about Roger Mathis.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way about Braun Strowman. There's something different about Braun Strowman. He's in a class of his own.
And it's almost because, like, they've actually allowed him to not run away from everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he actually...
You're talking about Mathis?
Yeah. He's the pursuer. Yeah,
Strowman. For Strowman.
Oh, okay.
Because Strowman doesn't run... Like, with the exception of now Brock Lesnar and Kalisto.
That little guy's tough.
No, I love Kalisto. Kalisto and the dumpster match that they had, I loved.
And Kalisto was right when he said, you know, I beat you.
Yeah.
And you couldn't handle it, but I beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Here's some more bad news. And by the way, we're going to talk more about Stride later in the show. So if you're a Stride fan and you're tuning in, maybe for the first time, we got a lot of Stride coverage coming at the end of the show. We'd like to save that for the main event. So stay tuned for that. Asa and Dalton will be all over that because I and Allie, unfortunately, we could not make it, but these guys did and had a great time. So again, stay tuned for that Stride Pro Wrestling talk. That's going to be towards the end of the show. We got more injury news. Emma. Oh, this one hurts.
This one hurts so bad.
This one hurts real bad. Emma's injured. I saw that posted on her Twitter that she got sent home from the tour early. Mm-hmm. I thought something happened, and then I saw she was injured, and that was worse, probably.
Yep.
How? Any
shoulder injury?
Idea?
We don't have any time frame yet. But yeah, this is just the worst time. We finally get her back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They wasted like 6 years of her being healthy with this BS Emelina idiocy. And then we finally get Evil Emma back.
And doing now, a great job again.
Yeah.
Because she's fantastic.
I love Emma.
And then they just throw that gimmick pretty much on Lana.
It's like they combined the Eva Marie and the Emelina to just like...
You're Lana now.
Hey, here, yeah, you're pretty.
You're Eva Lana, Lana yeah. Lena.
I was about to say, how are you going to do that?
Eva Lana Lena.
Eva Lana Lena. There it is.
That's a t-shirt no one will buy.
The more I say it, the more I hate it. Emma's another one that I was never big on at first. When she did the, well, I didn't see her NXT work, to be fair. My only exposure
just
to Emma
her immediately getting...
was her coming in with Santino.
Yeah, that was
and
terrible.
Doing the dancing and stuff. And mm-hmm. I remember thinking, I don't see what's so special about her. I mean, she's pretty. She's very attractive and she can go in the ring, but the character's terrible. I just didn't like it. It wasn't until she went bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got fired, like I think her getting fired actually may have done her well.
Probably.
Cause when she came back, she was hotter than ever. Like mm-hmm. literally in every way. And then the Evil Emma is just one of my favorite characters
it's all
on
about
the show.
Me.
Yeah. The glasses to the gloves, mm-hmm. the way she just, literally, I never say this about many wrestlers or whatever, but even the way she moves during her entrance is all part of the gimmick and yeah. it works so well.
I wasn't a huge fan of her in NXT originally. Like it was one of those things where she just kind of felt like knockoff Bayley. Mm-hmm. Where Bayley started as a fan and wanted to hug everybody. Emma was super positive about everything and did the dumb dance.
The dumb, dumb dance.
Well,
but she was so good in the ring that it kind of like, okay, well, you get a pass because you're just really good.
Yeah. Well, it started that she was actually a bad guy with that gimmick first, like the bubbles gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
She was a bad guy. And then that dance got over so hard in NXT that they were like, well, I guess you're a good guy now. And she just had amazing matches with everybody she was in. And then she went to WWE or she went to the main roster and they put her with Santino and they told her never actually wrestle.
Yeah.
And that's
dance.
Yeah.
You like bubbles?
And it's one of those things like in NXT in
My
itself.
Bubbles.
In a self-contained thing like that, you're able to do, like, you're able to have a goofy little thing like that, but as long as you're having good matches, it's fine.
See No Way Jose.
Yeah, See right. No Way Jose. Adam Rose to a small amount, but that was mainly just the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with Emma, everything that made her super popular, they didn't let her do. Like, Vince just thought it was that dance that made her popular. No, it was, that dance is goofy and it's part of her thing, but her work rate was amazing.
Yeah, some of the best wrestlers of all time have had terrible gimmicks that they've made work because it's a mixture of one aspect of it plus their in-ring work. Like Daniel Bryan. I stand by, I don't think Daniel Bryan would have ever gotten over as big as he did in WWE if it wasn't for the Yes Chant. I'm not saying that's what made him, but I think that is the spark that he needed to really become huge.
But at the same time, the Yes Chant wouldn't have been as big if it was just
a random
else.
Guy.
Because then they Alberto tried to
give
Del Rio.
It, yeah, they tried to give it to someone else at yeah. some point.
They tried to give it to Del Rio with C that he yeah. still uses.
Yeah, when he shows up.
Yeah.
Huh?
He also missed another show this week.
Really?
Oh my.
Where was it? You know
I don't remember. It was somewhere in the States, but I don't remember which one it was.
God, keep him away from CCW. Jason and Lee, if you're listening, no.
Alberto Del No Show.
Mm-hmm. We've already got our one consistent no show. We don't need a second.
Yeah.
So,
Allie, as the only woman on, at the table.
Yeah.
Technically. Of. How jealous are you of Emma?
What?
Because she's fierce.
I like this bit. that was
oh,
that was sarcasm.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That
I just
was,
hit the microphone.
Yeah.
You scared me so much I hit the microphone. Okay, so we don't know how long Emma's going to be out.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just it's not too bad, but if they send her home early from the tour, that's not a great sign.
What's going on with all these? Why are these people so squishy now?
It always happens in Europe.
Yep.
It always happens in Europe. There's always at least one or two big injuries that happen when they go overseas.
Did they show like when she got injured? Was it a match?
It was at a live event, so I don't think they have footage of.
Now, you don't have this listed on here, but we just saw it, and I'm going to ask you about it. Of Ember Moon.
Yeah.
You said she's also injured.
That
is it storyline?
That one's probably storyline.
Okay, because that was a nasty
That's why I didn't put
fall
it on there.
She took mm-hmm. during the show. So when you said she was injured, I truly, because you said she got pulled from TakeOver.
So they're doing another TakeOver in Chicago in 2 weeks. I guess it'll be the night before Backlash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
that's
a
weird one.
They set up the Battle Royal for the number one contendership to Asuka's title, and Asuka just came out and demolished all three of the last four that were in there. Or was it only the four?
It was just the three.
It was only three people in a Battle Royal.
Oh.
No, there was more
I didn't
than
watch
that.
It.
There,
okay.
there was multiple people, because I remember seeing a lot. Peyton Royce got put out.
Okay. Because I was like, that's just a triple threat.
And also, why is Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, and Emma not just the best trio? They're all Australian.
Because
the Aussie Alliance.
Because Emma doesn't need them.
No, but I'd still like to see it.
I mean, yeah.
That'd be a great group.
But then Asuka comes in for the main event, throws out. It looks like she's doing the turnbuckle spot where she wraps her shoulder around the turnbuckle. But there was no turnbuckle. Ember just like flew through the ring apron and landed on the floor
to the outside. That was scary. She almost hit the barricade.
Yeah. She ended up under like one of her arms underneath the barricade.
That was scary. So I could truly believe that there was a real injury. Yeah. But considering NXT is taped ahead of time, mm-hmm. I think we would have heard about it.
And the amount of times that like they've referenced it and stuff, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see if she actually doesn't show up to TakeOver.
I'm hoping she's not injured because I'm a big Ember Moon fan. I really like her, and I hate seeing all these injuries. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely terrible. So,
but yeah, I didn't put it on there just because, one, it happened last week, and two, we're not 100% sure if it's
legit,
real or not. Yeah,
we don't go for that fake stuff.
This isn't fake news. Yeah,
I don't care what Jeff Liddell says.
Sidebar: Did Rollins, whenever he tore his knee, wasn't that overseas? I was at a house show, like way back when.
Was it one against Kane? I think so.
I think that was.
Was it in Japan or China or something?
It was definitely not China. About to say, I don't think it was in America.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember.
Because, I mean, that's a good point. I think, because it does seem every European tour, every overseas tour, somebody does get hurt.
I will say,
Someone gets hurt every week to 2 weeks anyway. Like, these injuries happen so frequently.
I feel like we've gone a good while without hearing about a major one, though.
We've also just had a couple of big returns happen too, so that might.
Because I remember like a year and a half ago, there was a bunch of them. And then, 2 years ago, whenever they were like, oh yeah, everybody that won a championship at 31 wasn't at 32.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, have you heard the criticism like I've heard online, the internet, about how the wrestlers today just seem to be more injury prone than wrestlers from the 90s or the 80s and stuff like that?
No.
Where I would say that's not true. What is more than likely is that we have better testing mm-hmm. and we have better.
No, that's exactly what it is.
They take care of our people better. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
Also, it's like the people that are getting injured aren't WWE central people. Like, they didn't start in NXT. The people that are getting injured are people that worked indies for a long time and their bodies.
They're like 30s and they have, 15 years of wear and tear on them already.
Yeah,
and now they're working the WWE schedule, which is even crazier.
Yeah. They're allowed to break from time to time.
That's something that Stone Cold and Jericho and their podcast talk about constantly, like complaining about Nakamura only just now making it to the main roster. Hideo Itami's another guy. Like, you have these guys who have spent so much time already doing this that they're, the amount of time they have left to really be able to do their thing at their peak
is small.
And you're not necessarily wasting it in NXT, but, Nakamura shouldn't have been in, Finn Balor shouldn't have been in NXT for 2 years.
Yeah. And you're also screwing him out of money. Like, I'm willing to say Balor made a lot of money in NXT. Balor's going to make a lot more money on the main roster.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, just sales. And, like, the same thing with Nakamura. He's able to make so much more money on the main roster, and they're kind of screwing these guys financially.
He hasn't wrestled yet.
But it's a double-edged sword, though, because when you do go to NXT at first, you get time for more American mainstream exposure that guys like Nakamura didn't have. Because as much as we love Nakamura, there is a huge section of fans, especially WWE fans, who have probably never heard of him.
Yeah, but can I give you just a good counterpoint to that?
Yes, please do.
I'm willing to say that Samoa Joe didn't need to learn how to work the American TV style that long. And I get exactly what you're saying.
Oh, no, I agree with you. But I was about to say Samoa Joe is one guy, though, that I would not have put in NXT.
Well, and that was one that he didn't necessarily like. He was kind of, he just did Jericho's podcast. Yeah. Like, he talks about, like, okay, well, we want to use you for these shows, but don't get your hopes up. This isn't necessarily, something. And then, people really like him and you're, trustworthy. So, okay, well, we're going to put you on NXT, but, don't get your hopes up. Same thing with Kevin Owens. And now.
Yeah. I could almost see Kevin Owens just because he didn't have a lot of.
He's not conventional.
He's not conventional. Well, neither is Samoa Joe by far,
But he's Samoan.
Not only that, and but he was in TNA for so long and as a torchbearer in TNA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas Kevin Owens, I'm not saying that Kevin Owens didn't make it because clearly he did, mm-hmm. but it was more of an indie. You could make the argument that TNA is a higher exposure than the indies,
Ring of Honor.
I should say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would not have put Samoa Joe on NXT. I think Kevin Owens is questionable. It's iffy for me.
But now you're like, with the Nakamura thing and the Hideo Itami thing, like, yeah, them getting Owens wasn't that shocking. Them buying out Nakamura from New Japan, of just being like, well, we offered him a contract. They're going to fly Nakamura out. They're going to fly Itami out and give him all this time. And you're just going to keep him on NXT. That seems like a waste of everybody's investment.
Well, do you think if they had put Nakamura in the main roster to start with and had put him with a guy like – I could see them putting someone like The Miz immediately, you know, for his first match. Do you think it would have been a different reaction from a mainstream WWE crowd versus the smaller, more internet savvy NXT crowd?
Nakamura is only as popular as he is on SmackDown because of NXT.
Right.
Yeah. Like, no one's making that argument, but he was in NXT for a while.
He was there too long.
Yeah.
A year. He was there for a year.
Considering that he never won a title rematch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ever. Well, no, he did win title rematches. He never successfully defended his title. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's shitty. It's a glaring oversight
of how to treat, you know, someone you're wanting to build as a legitimate, you know, main level contender.
It's one of those that you don't think about until you say it out loud. Because, I mean, that was the thing with Asa and I. We were talking about it, and I was like, he's never successfully defended his title on a takeover. And he needed to.
He absolutely did.
But now that he's on the main roster, that's pretty much scrubbed.
And I feel like Nakamura is one of the better success stories for a foreigner to come to WWE because they don't have a great track record, not of their fault, but of the way WWE treats them. It's more or less, if you're Middle Eastern in any way, you're a bad guy and you're only fodder for the American hero to destroy. If you're a Japanese wrestler, like I know Tajiri. He had a pretty successful run. But then you have guys like Kenzo Suzuki. You have Takemichi Noku, who was one of the greatest of all time, who came in pretty hot, and by the end of it was doing comedy skits where he was in a bad Godzilla film.
And I'm willing to bet that's less that they've learned from, like, how to treat people and more just, like,
the internet.
They know that wouldn't work in 2017.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be that blatantly racist.
Yeah.
You can still be pretty racist, but not
that racist.
It was
just a couple of years ago that they basically did an angle playing off of the real life of Russia shooting down a plane.
No, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't put it past them to do something really stupid.
But comparing Kai and Tai to, like, something that they would do now, they would not do that now with, like, the market that they're trying to get in Japan.
Well, so they've treated for everything we're saying
Ho-Ho
bad
Loon
about
has
it.
A job. Just let that sink in.
But I think they've treated Nakamura very well. Like, presenting him as a character. I think they've done better than they've done with most Japanese stars, for sure.
Yeah, because they let him be.
Except for Asuka.
Okay. Because they let her be herself and they let Nakamura be himself. If you watch Nakamura in NXT or SmackDown, it's Nakamura from New Japan. There's no difference.
Do you remember they were going to bring in Kenzo Suzuki as Hirohito? You know why that's a bad idea?
You remind me again.
Read your history books. That's all I'll say.
All right. Go ahead.
Look it up.
Yeah, no, because I was just
I'll say Asuka just hit her 400th day as champion.
Wow. She's a steam train.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of amazing is what
we'll get into
is.
That preview for that triple threat next week too.
Yes, sir. Speaking of foreigners, this is why I mentioned foreigners because I wanted to segue. I'm giving it away now. They did announce the UK show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the details on that?
I don't because so I know I'm the only one at the table who doesn't, but I don't care about the UK tournament. I didn't watch it. I watched like the first three matches with you guys and like all three of those matches had someone who I just rolled my eyes at. I'm like, oh, someone's wrestling in Zubaz, and this person's entire character is, I have a mustache. GTFO. And now I'm getting salty that they're taking up NXT time.
But now they're
going
to get their own show.
So now they're finally getting their own show. It'll happen sometime in late June, I think is what it said.
Do you think it's a culture clash that you don't like the mustache thing, you don't like that, but that it's huge over there? Maybe it's...
I don't because it's like the Cornetto trilogy. I like a lot of British stuff. I just don't like this.
Yeah, I won't say that that was
like, I don't think that's a traditional British style. Cause I like the Catch as Catch Can, which they've done a little bit of. It's not like the main style that they've been doing. It's more of an Americanized version, I guess. But no, there was just too much about it that I didn't like. So I'd never really gave it a fair shot to finish out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just get annoyed whenever I see that they're main eventing NXT instead of NXT people.
I'm annoyed because I feel like because they can't obviously tape the show in America. Hopefully. That would be stupid.
I'm assuming not.
They already own all these contracts. I mean, I'm assuming they won't either, but it's one of those.
Well, I'm just upset because what they're getting is what I wanted for the Cruiserweights. Yeah. I wanted them to have their own show, their own time slot, like they did with the CWC, with fans that show up specifically to see the Cruiserweights.
Right.
Not going to see SmackDown, and then, oh, by the way, here's another
hey,
show
wait
after
an extra
it.
Hour, here's
yeah.
the...
And I'm jealous of that, because I feel like a Cruiserweight show done in this style, where they get their own setup and everything, would be phenomenal.
Yeah. And that's what I've talked about to death, about 205 Live and just those segments on Raw too.
Yeah.
Allie, you look like you were going to say something. You're looking at your phone. Something about WWE.
I have what Dalton shared into the chat about the UK championship show. Is that just that they're going to air the championship again later
no,
this
no,
month?
It's going to be its own show.
The show is actually going to start later this month?
Yeah.
Okay, later in May.
Yeah.
So. It says later this month, and it sounds like, yeah, they are.
Because they
already
filmed a bunch
recorded
of stuff in Nottingham.
And, yeah.
Yeah, which I am.
So they've already taped it. It's not live.
Yeah, there's no. There's a lot of stuff they've already filmed, and they did announce too that the commentary team is going to be JR and Nigel McGuinness.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
that's
like which that's
super
and that's
exciting.
Good. JR can make anything sound good.
Yes.
So
I'm the exact opposite of Asa. Like I am kind of bummed. I don't feel like they should have done the tournament when they did. They should have held that tournament off for about 4 months if they weren't going to do the show six months later, but. I am super excited with the people that they have. I think this is going to be a really entertaining hour of I don't know what it's been about NXT recently because I know exciting stuff's going on, but I just can't keep up with it the way I used to. But I really, really am excited for this UK show.
See, and I'm right in the middle. Like, I'm not super excited about it, but I also don't dislike it. I'm kind of curious to see how it goes. What about you?
I'm kind of the same way because
you watched the special with me and Dalton.
Yes.
In between games of Battlefront.
Yes. That is how that happened. I'm kind of like you where I'm not upset about it by any way, but I'm also not just eager to go watch it.
And I will be much less upset about it now that they are getting their own show finally. Mm-hmm. They don't have to shoehorn stuff into
other
NXT
shows.
Or like 205 Live, whatever they decide to do. And, right. I don't want to sound like I'm knocking these guys because a lot of them are like Pete Dunne is good. What we've seen of him is he's really good. That's the champion, isn't it?
No, that's Tyler Bates.
Tyler Bates is good. Pete Dunne is the number one contender.
Yeah, he's the one with like the bruiserweight.
I saw he beat the one like the guy in Zubaz in like the first round or something like that. I saw him.
I don't know a lot of these names.
I think I wrestled him. I think I wrestled him like or I didn't wrestle him. I saw him wrestle like one match and I liked him, but yeah, I mean there's guys that I like in it, but there was just so much. Kitschy,
to be fair, in Ace's career, he's wrestled a lot of countries.
Yeah. he's wrestled a lot of terrorists.
look at the adjective, wrestle.
But yeah, no, I think there's, and I know you said like whenever you first watched it, there was enough eye roll moments, mm-hmm. but out of every one of those moments, there's also a guy that's really, really good. I feel like once it gets going and if you like will watch, like you'll watch it, I'm sure the first couple at least.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a good guy on that show you would have liked named Neville.
So I feel like there's enough interesting characters or people that you will at least want to latch on to a little bit that might make you enjoy it because there was a lot of guys.
Shannon's just shaking his head.
Oh my god! All right, next segment.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying. I just don't agree with that particular statement because when we watched the special together, there was like I really did like Pete Gunn and I liked Tyler Bates and I liked Mark Andrews, but I can't remember a single other person from that. I remember there was a big guy named like Rainier Wolfcastle or something.
There was Wolfgang.
Wolfgang, that's what it was.
I don't have the names in front of me. That one really tall guy, Balor's protege, was also another really good one. Yeah. Danny Burch is going to be there.
The thing is, I'm just really bad with names.
Yeah, I think Devlin was like Balor's. Birch is there.
Devlin,
who
I remember that one.
Too. Yeah, Danny Burch is probably going to be in it. Anything he's in, I'm a fan of. I know he loses all the time. Mark Andrews is going to be in it.
They're great wrestlers. When you take great wrestlers and JR and Nigel McGuinness, I mean, that's a winning combination.
Yeah. Like,
you're going to be our UK representative, basically. So.
I mean, I'm going to watch it weekly. I've been waiting for this show since the tournament. And my two biggest complaints is I didn't use the European belt because I love that title. And the second is I've been waiting 6 months for this show. The tournament was in like November, December, I think.
It was a long time ago.
Or it might have been in January. It's been more than 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, it's going to be really hard to remember all these people after losing them. There's two others who, again, I'm really upset names escape me, but a couple of the WCPW guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That were regulars on there that I absolutely love. The one dude that has like a part of his ear missing. He was also, I really hope his gimmick isn't that he doesn't have half an ear anymore. Like, I hope they just give him an actual character.
I mean, he could be. Van Gogh.
I mean, that's
no,
how,
that's he could be the artiste.
That's how Cactus Jack started. He lost part of his ear.
No, Vader took part of his ear.
That's true.
This is mine now.
I hope that they treat it more like NXT and less like WWE. I don't want to see huge sweeping soap opera storylines. I'd like to keep it very because I feel like British wrestling is a little bit more.
Based in reality, yeah.
So I'd like to see more of that than the WWE style.
I don't know.
So I wonder how much influence they're going to have.
And like, honestly, I don't know who's running creative, but
hopefully Nigel McGuinness
or Regal.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Because, like, Regal really doesn't have to do anything in NXT except be there for the segments.
And I don't know, like, in real life, Regal is British.
What? Also, I think he had a big hand in that tournament. Like, because, I mean, he was the representative for there. Yeah. So, I mean,
British.
I don't know what they're going to do with him, but I really hope that he's a big part of it, too, because I think he'd be a good, really good figurehead.
Well, do you agree with this statement? Let's take Regal out of NXT?
No.
Okay. No, immediate, I don't want that.
No. Never mind.
Yeah. Immediate no.
Never mind.
I'm cool with Regal doing creative for this show. I don't want Regal really being a part of it.
Because, like, you don't want to lose him from NXT.
No, because he's amazing in NXT. If Dusty Rhodes was still alive, yeah, send him to that show and let Dusty be the GM of NXT again. But he's not here, so he stays there. There's nobody else I want to see be the GM of NXT.
JBL could come back.
Yeah, no, that was...
Such a cute little thing on that Bring It to the Table.
Oh, have they done another one recently?
Yeah, they did.
They're
one.
They're making it monthly.
They did one,
and it's always going to be JBL and Corey Graves.
They did one, yay. And the host guy is like, my name is, I can't remember
Peter
his
Rosenberg.
Name. Peter Rosenberg, and I have controversy because I said something. Corey Graves is like, my name is Corey Graves, and I have controversy. I created controversy because I spoke out against Shane McMahon. And it cut to JBL, and he's just like, well, I'm JBL. And he just looked around confused. And he's like, and I won $21 golfing last week.
Oh, JBL.
It's funny because you might have made someone kind of suicidal.
You bully.
That's hilarious.
Funny. Speaking of big, angry bullies, Rusev's going to be on SmackDown next week.
Yeah.
Finally. Why?
Because he's on SmackDown. He got drafted.
Yeah, but wasn't the thing that he did, he said, I won't show up on SmackDown unless I get a title shot?
And now he's saying that because Shane McMahon won't answer him,
he's going to go get the
answer. He's going to come and get his answer.
Okay, thank you. Because I didn't see that on there, and I just thought... They were just like, I'm not showing up till I get a title shot. 2 weeks later, here he is on SmackDown for no reason.
He's on Twitter talking about, like, Shane McMahon won't answer his texts or emails or phone calls. So he's going to get his answer.
I hope this is the start of good Rusev again. Not good guy Rusev, but just that
they treat Rusev
ass kicker.
Well.
Yeah. Now he doesn't have Lana.
Rusev where he should be, like, he should be in Jinder Mahal's spot.
Well, yeah. Better than Jinder Mahal's spot.
I mean, yeah.
Do you think that him not having Lana anymore is an asset or a... is it going to take away from his character?
I think it should be good. It's one of those things we're going to have to wait and see.
Is this Mark Merrow and Sable again?
As long as the crowd doesn't start chanting, we want Lana at him. Like, I think
because Lana's on the show.
I honestly think they should debut Lana first.
Yeah.
I think she should make her in-ring debut first, to let the crowd see her, and then put Rusev to really kind of establish they're separate. She's not going to be out there with him, because that was always the thing I disliked most, was when he was out there and they were chanting for Lana.
Yeah. And don't do anything cute, like have him come out and tell her, you know, what are you doing? Or
right.
Don't have him come out and dump her, because that's just going to get people to put them together again.
It's
going to
be Mark Merrow and Sable again.
Yeah, because you always saw what happened. Remember what happened to Mark Merrow?
Difference is Rusev is a way better worker than Mark Merrow was.
That's unfair. I thought Mark Merrow was solid.
No, that's not unfair. I'm not saying that Mark Merrow was a bad worker. I'm saying Rusev was
Did you see him as Johnny B. Badd?
Yes, and I still say that Rusev is way better than he was.
He looks like Little Richard.
And Rusev is way better than that. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying Rusev is better.
Rusev, good.
Mark Merrow, okay.
He was all right. I never really liked Mark Merrow that much. I did like him as Johnny B. Badd.
Johnny B. Badd. And then he went to WWF with the understanding that they were going to use that gimmick. And, oh, wait, WCW shut that down real quick.
Which was fine, because then they had Mark Merrow as Mark Merrow. The dude was a legit, like, Golden Gloves boxer. He was a good wrestler. The mistake was they put him with his wife, who was a... attractive buxom blonde, and they put her in little outfits. Can you guess what happened?
Didn't he get, like, was he in the actual boxing?
The Brawl for All?
The Brawl for All. Didn't he get, like, ruined in the Brawl for All, like, surprisingly early?
I don't remember.
I think he did lose. By ruined, I thought you meant injured. I think he was in it. I think he got knocked out.
No,
out in the first round, but then a bunch of other people were like, yeah, no, we're not doing this. So then he came back even though he lost.
Okay.
I think that's what it was.
Because I thought they, like, wasn't he the person that they did the Brawl for All for?
That was Steve Williams.
Yep,
that's right. That's right.
But he got ruined.
Yeah.
Like, first round.
Legit.
By Bart Gunn.
which started Bart Gunn's
rise and meteoric rise and even worse fall.
Because I think that's when people started to think that, okay, so the Brawl for All tournament, I think we talked about it on the show before.
We've talked about it before.
It was a legit tournament at first, but a lot of people believe that once Bart Gunn knocked out Dr. Death, everything past that was kayfabe. Mm-hmm. Like he was fake knocking him out to build his character.
Right.
But then they decided to put him against Butterbean.
Which was, everybody assumes was JR because he was head of talent relations back then. Everybody assumed that was JR being like, well, Steve Williams is my friend and you ruined that for him, so we're going to ruin you.
This was Bart Gunn. If Bart Gunn had won though, that dude, that would have made
would have been pushed right down the card. Andre the Battle Memorial Battle Royal, whatever.
Andre the Battle Royal.
Whatever the hell it's called. I gave it the respect they gave it.
This is why Press Start to Join Show likes me more. Oh. Yeah, but Bart Gunn instead got knocked out by Butterbean. Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
I feel like if they didn't, I feel like if it wasn't going to be Butterbean, they would have been like, hey, Tyson, you just bit that dude's ear off, right? You want to come to this WrestleMania?
You're not boxing anymore, right? You can't?
I feel like they were going to find somebody to kill him regardless.
That would have sucked if Bart Gunn, all of a sudden his gimmick was, we're going to put you against boxers. Good luck, buddy.
I've hated every time they've done that in WWE. They did that with Evander Holyfield and Matt Hardy during the MVP thing.
Yeah. They've never done it well.
Yeah. It's because you can't do
it well. Tyson, but he didn't fight.
Yeah.
Tyson was the best. But he was the best implementation of a boxer.
No, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali? Well, he was just he just reffed WrestleMania 1.
Well, he fought... Oh, God.
Oh, was it Fujinami?
No. The real
Yokozuna?
No. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame a couple years ago.
Yeah, Fujinami.
Wasn't Fujinami? Guarantee. Anthony Inoki.
Yep, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, he wrestled. He fought Dang him. It. Yeah, I was thinking Fujinami too. I'm like, I know that's not right. I know that's not right.
That's Flair. My bad.
But yeah, he fought Inoki legit. Mm-hmm. And Inoki, they told him he couldn't like wrestle him. He's like, yeah,
you can't go after his knees. That's what they told him.
And so Noki said, okay. He literally, as the match started, laid on his back and kicked Muhammad Ali's legs over and over, gave him a blood clot.
Yep.
He kicked him so hard. Yeah. Inoki didn't play no games.
No games.
If you really want to see Inoki do work, look up his match versus the great Antonio.
No,
don't watch that.
That is an execution. All right. Otherwise, we got some more news. Titus O'Neil, bark, bark. Gator tits. Getting sued. I don't think Roscoe at least listens to the show, but if they did, one that of them smiled. He's being sued over something that happened on Swerved.
Yes. Apparently, at some point, a prank went awry, and he knocked a camera out of someone's hand or something, and that cameraman is now suing him.
Said he had legit injuries. Said he took a beating.
Mm-hmm.
Like he got kicked or something like that?
I don't remember. It's Titus O'Neil, so I didn't pay a whole lot of attention.
I think he full-on got attacked. Like, yeah. Titus O'Neil beat this guy up, like really pushed him around a lot.
Mm-hmm. If you hear Titus talk about it, he was just trying to hug him.
Oh,
and then
I get that reference. I get that reference. Someone suggested, how about we just don't do Swerved anymore?
And there's a reason that they stopped pranking the wrestlers. And now it's just these giants of men pranking regular people.
Yeah. Because you don't really want to prank a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good idea.
It's one of those things I've always hated those types of shows, like those prank shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I never watched it. The most I saw of it was like the previews on the network, which included the New Day doing the Jackass bit of the giant like powdered hand
smacking someone,
smacking Kofi. Yeah. So, and I'm just like, I don't.
Or there was one with Paige walking around with a taser and she tased Neville from behind.
Yeah.
Like that's not funny. No. Yeah. Really.
So it's like maybe I'm old and like everything is stupid.
You liked it, didn't you?
I enjoyed Swerved.
There was one I did like where they painted Big Show gold. And he was standing like a statue, and then he would say hi to people.
Oh, God.
That was funny.
See, that one where Big E, this was just from a preview, but Big E working out with someone, tossing the medicine ball back and forth. And he's like, no, really give it to me. And so they chuck it, and he like falls backwards and knocks over like a giant TV.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
Those are cute.
There was one where it's like they're acting like there was going to be a cooking show for the network. And they would like, it was Renee Young helping out. And they would always, the big thing was they would undo, like, a platter.
It was Hornswoggle.
And then it was Hornswoggle's head. Mm-hmm. They did that to Xavier Woods. And Xavier Woods doesn't like to be pranked. And if he gets pranked, he promises that they're all going to get it back 10 times worse. It was a blast gun of powder. I don't think it was a hand.
Oh, yeah, the air gun.
Yeah, so what happened was Kofi pranked Xavier. And Xavier, the rest of the show, it was just like, oh, I'm going to get him back. And then he got him back. Those are really enjoyable. I actually liked Swerve. There wasn't a lot, there was more of just practical jokes of like, well, the security guard, like they plan a security guard says like, yeah, just say that his name's not on the building. And then they don't let him in. Seth Rollins, whenever he was champion, they did it to him. And it was just like, This is my show.
Please, I was going to say, please tell me he says, do you know who I am?
Yeah, like, no, and they all say that, like, The Miz did it too.
What about the one where they're at the diner? It's the Ascension and...
Oh, the, like, the incest angle?
Yeah, and they, yeah. they're, like, the waitress is the husband and sister of the guy that, like, runs the place, and he's abusing her in front of them.
And, like, two of them are aware of it, like, the Ascension's not in it.
Yeah, also, and Ascension got pissed. Like, they straight up, like, threatened to beat the guy's ass for it. I was, like, good on them.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think my favorite part of that bit was the fact that,
New Day was there too, weren't they?
No, it was Fandango, Heath Slater, and Ascension. I love that they're road buddies.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems like a fun car
for
ride.
For a fun WWE show, incest and abuse, that's lighthearted material.
Thanks, Vince.
Thanks, Vinny Mac.
Thanks, Parental Controls.
Some good news. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, and that you saying Fandango reminded me, they did another Fashion Files on SmackDown.
Oh, I didn't get to see it.
I haven't seen it.
Mm-mm.
No?
It's not good.
Aww.
Like, it was not. Like, the first one was amazing. This one was not.
Like, they're trying to hit.
Yeah, the best thing that came from that was the Usos promo on Breezango.
Well,
that makes me sad.
Yeah.
They lasted a week.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Fashion Files.
It's like they actually hired Dick Wolf to
There just
come in
wasn't
and
enough,
it.
Like, they tried to do, like, British references and, like, I don't know, it just.
Or did they hire.
And maybe you guys will like it, but it fell flat for me.
Or did they hire that one guy that you hate?
Speedweed?
Yeah.
Speedweed.
They keep Speedweed away from it. And by the way, stop trying to do British jokes. I'm going to let you all in on a secret right now. This is probably an unpopular opinion. British comedy ain't funny.
That is an unpopular opinion.
I said it.
It's incorrect.
No, it's terrible. All of it. There's never been a single funny British
comedian.
Moving on.
I don't like this. I'm so excited for the fight that's going to start tomorrow morning. Like, yay.
Oh,
no, I take back what I said. It was obviously a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was. I don't watch British comedy, but I don't watch anything British, so it's like, whatever. I know someone that did watch British comedy, and I hate them, and they tried to make me watch it, and I hate their guts to the ends of the earth. You know what I'm talking about? So
it's
I kind of have a bias.
Because that person made you watch weird British comedy.
And then ruined my roommate's life. So
and we're moving on.
And moving on. Cedric Alexander, you do it.
Cedric Alexander teased his return on Twitter.
There it is.
So hopefully he'll be back soon. I like him.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real excited to see him come back and lose to Neville.
Yay.
How long has he been out?
No, that's fine. Like 3 months?
It's been a while.
It's been a little bit. I don't remember. I just remember being real sad when I found out he got hurt and lost the, as Reddit dubbed it, the Alicia Fox Championship.
Aw, she's pretty. Yeah.
Crazy.
She just celebrated like 11 years with WWE too.
She's been there the longest.
Yeah.
Has she? Like even more than Natalya.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's nuts. Because
mm-hmm.
For the longest time, you would not assume Alicia Fox would be the one that lasted that long.
Right.
Because for so long, she was so there.
She's one that so quietly got just like so much better and like no one noticed.
Yeah. Her work, like last year, I think it was, when she was crazy,
mm-hmm.
was some of my favorite character work I've seen in a long time. When mm-hmm. she like grabbed JBL's hat and drank their soda and stuff mm-hmm. because no one else was.
Right.
No one touched that Mountain Dew. Not a single person.
That was diet.
And then one of my all time favorite moments is when she's backstage with Nia Jax.
Oh.
And she accidentally hits her.
Yeah.
And then first admit that initial. Oh, wait, I gotta be crazy.
Yeah.
That was intentional.
Oh, so that's a good moment. And glad Cedric Alexander is coming back. I'm a big fan of him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we should have mentioned this earlier when we were talking about Daniel Bryan, and this isn't really a surprise to anybody, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan, who says he is cleared to wrestle by everyone except WWE,
mm-hmm.
wants to wrestle again and will probably leave when his contract expires.
Yeah. He did I think it was an Inside the Ropes interview. Like, he was ringside when they were talking to him. And he was just like, yeah, so basically, we're going to look at, I know how I feel. I feel like I can wrestle again. We're going to look at my health. He's talking about himself and Brie, thankfully. Like, I'm very glad that she's going to be
a part of
this decision, especially now that he is a father.
Yeah.
But like, he said he still has like a year and a half left on the contract.
Mm.
But once he is cleared, like, he's going to hopefully have WWE let him wrestle. And if they don't, then he will, if he feels like he can, he's going to find someone who will let him wrestle. And we've talked about this before. Like, I mean, I get that this is what you love and you don't want to not be able to do it, but
what if he is cleared? Because it wouldn't be the first time that a wrestler has come back from a bad injury. Shawn Michaels left for how many years after that back injury?
It's one of those things where when he says the words that maybe I'm not as okay as I think I am, and they've deemed it not okay for me to wrestle, you don't come back from that one. unless they're the ones who
told him to say
who
it.
Then say, yeah. Well, not even that. Who come and say, okay, you know, these, we've done all of these things and you look like you're good to go. But if he ever does another diving headbutt, I'm never watching another Daniel Bryan anything ever again.
Yeah.
Cause stop it.
Yeah, that move is, I don't like that one.
Daniel Bryan's another guy that worked the indies for how long before he got his shot at the main roster?
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
I mean, it only really had what, 8 months of really good.
At the top?
Yeah. Less than that, 6. It was SummerSlam to WrestleMania 30.
Yep.
But he has one of the greatest all-time WrestleMania moments and probably the most painful goodbye speech.
Yep. Yeah.
Compounded by that picture of him backstage with Brie.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is off topic, but I have to ask. Because you're wearing a John Cena shirt right now.
Yeah.
And this isn't a shot at you or anything. No, I have a serious question. It's just, it reminded me.
This was on top of the pile of clothes on my bed.
I like that shirt, first off.
This is the one that I duct taped the KO.
You did.
Over.
And that was awesome. That was when we went to Battleground, wasn't it?
Yep.
Which, not a good memory.
Nope.
Do you think it's unfair that Daniel Bryan and Brie seem to have such a good, legitimate relationship, but people are so hard on John and Nikki as phony? Like, do you think that's unfair, or do you think WWE causes that and it's fair?
They absolutely cause it through the reality shows that they do.
Yeah, well, I think there's also a gigantic difference on how Cena and Nikki have done it compared to how Brie and Daniel did it, where theirs was, no, we're in a relationship and we're doing that reality show, but it's not really part of the storyline.
So you think...
But it became a storyline after Daniel Bryan got injured after 30. Before that, it was just kind of like, well, they're a couple. And they kind of played into it a little bit with Randy Orton and Bryan, but it was never really a big contention point. As Nikki and Cena, who proposed at WrestleMania. Yeah,
but to be fair, that only became a focal point in the past few months. Like, for the longest time that they were together, they never mentioned that on TV.
On Raw, on the actual wrestling shows.
Yeah. Total Divas, whatever. I never watched Total Divas.
And I didn't either, but I didn't watch them, but I even knew that the whole... Like, one of the focal points of the show was always their relationship.
Yeah, and it always was. Like, I remember watching
it. And it's always been because he won't commit to her, and, oh, you know, something seems off. I don't know if I trust John. Because those sound bites were beating into my head every single week.
Yep, and they weren't good episodes either. He bought a house.
Were any of the episodes
good? That's what he kept from her. Actually, a couple of them, it was entertaining the first couple seasons. I'm not being funny.
No, I know you're not. I'm not trying to make fun of you. I can't do reality shows. Because the moment a reality show pops on, and one of the first things you see is written by, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Hogan Knows Best is an abomination of God. And should have never been allowed
to watch it. I watched that show, too.
Did you watch that show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was on VH1.
Oh, man. All right. Real quick. Tell me the name of the show, because it's going to drive me crazy.
Hogan Knows Best?
No.
Oh.
No. I just said that one. There was a show Hulk Hogan hosted. I think it was on CMT, maybe, where it was like...
Hulk Hogan Celebrity Wrestling.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
Where he like...
Dennis Rodman won it.
That's all you need to say. I don't need to hear anything else. Moving on.
Watch that weekly, too.
Roman and... I saw this picture. Roman and Braun Strowman were photographed together in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet's mad about this?
A small section of the internet is. That's the reason I put a question mark. I didn't know if it was,
I don't like that
if it was even worth talking about.
I thought the picture was awesome.
It's one of those things where it's like, they're killing kayfabe, but it's like Jim Cornette threw a fit, I'm sure.
I haven't heard about it, but that's not to say he didn't.
Because that's the kind of thing that he absolutely will die on. Like, that's the hill he will die on.
I don't know. I feel like that's a stretch for anything anyone that
pulls
to be mad at this.
Anything that pulls the curtain back, he hates. And same, like, Wade Keller is another one who very much took offense to the fact that these people who are friends, and I'm to an extent, I understand, like.
20 years ago, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
But now?
And I mean, and, you know, Bray Wyatt tweeting happy birthday to people, like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they had separate accounts, like, if there was a Braun Strowman Raw Instagram account, which, why would there be?
Right.
But, and then there was, you know, his, like, actual real life account. That's, you know,
that's
one thing. That's something that I would like to see more of.
You want
to
see the characters separated from the people.
Have the characters be separate, because I like the way that they, like, you know, they use social media to their advantage to, like, build up stories and stuff.
Right.
But whenever you're doing that, and then, like, two tweets later, It's, you know, something lighthearted and goofy for,
like,
you know.
I don't understand the anger over this, and then you see something, and I get they're not in the same position. Mm-hmm. But, like, I have Alexa Bliss on my Instagram, obviously. And every other Alexa Bliss picture is her with, like, her biggest enemies. And they're, like, hanging out, yeah. Or they're...
Did you see the video of her, Miz, Maurice, Titus, and Nia
dancing?
Doing the tight pants?
Yeah.
That just made my heart smile.
That, and, like, something like that. No one got upset about that. But right. I get that Braun Strowman and
but
Roman
those are all bad
level.
Guys.
Not to... Yeah. They are. Oh. But
maybe not to us, but...
it's stupid. It's a stupid thing to get angry yeah. over. And I think it's awesome that... Because you yourself present this as a show.
Yeah.
It's entertainment. They don't like the word wrestling. They mm-hmm. don't like the word wrestlers. So why be upset when they show their guys hanging out?
Because it wasn't from an official like WWE post or something.
They're just hanging out.
It was
just a picture.
I think it was either Braun Strowman or Roman Reigns Instagram or Twitter or something.
Yeah.
Like they were, and it wasn't even like they were taking a posed picture together. They were just photographed together doing touristy stuff in Rome.
Which is awesome.
Because why wouldn't you do touristy stuff if you're in Rome?
It's to me, I've said this before, I like watching the wrestlers be themselves. That's why I love Up, Down, Down. Yeah.
No one freaks out when, you know, Up, Down, Down.
When like, Bray Wyatt's playing Super Nintendo with Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to be terrified of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. If you're upset about it, it's just stupid.
I mean, stop it. If you're legitimately upset, yeah. Like, I can kind of see where they're coming from just from a... I would prefer the characters be protected.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not gonna... My initial reaction to that picture was, oh, that's neat. Yeah. Not...
That's fun.
How could they...
Who's the best wrestlers?
I think he's just... I really think, you know, he wasn't done with him. He was dragging him to the Coliseum to throw him off the top.
Yeah, feed him to the lions.
Yeah.
No one told him that's been a while. He missed the bus.
He was gonna be the lion. that's the end of that. He's just gonna... fork.
Who's got the best Twitter in wrestling? There's only one answer. Luke Harper.
It's Wednesday. You know what that means.
You know what that means. That's great. Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be a heavyweight in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he's going to be in the G1 tournament.
Yeah, I like that a lot. He was a junior heavyweight in NOAH, and New Japan is kind of weird about how they present like smaller guys. So for the fact that he's actually going to be in the G1 as a heavyweight is really cool.
Basically what it means is he got promoted to the main roster. It's a little bit different, but it's basically like, all right, so you're doing this. If we let you be a heavyweight, you are going to get bumped up the card like crazy now.
Yeah.
So well, it's NXT to main roster, kind of, but they're all on the same.
He was in the CWC,
right? It's almost more like Cruiserweight, yeah. It's almost like 205 Live to Raw.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm really sad he didn't get signed because he was good.
He's one of those that can make money regardless.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, my personal favorite, Ibushi, really wanted to see him wrestle more in WWE.
Yeah.
Which I know that door's open, mm-hmm. but he ain't sticking his leg through anytime soon, and that
right.
makes me sad.
He went to go be Tiger Mask.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of Japanese wrestlers, Kairi Hojo announced her departure from Stardom, which is she's going to be in the women's tournament. That's not surprising because
yeah.
they've been courting her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So her announcing her departure is kind of like the unofficial official. Like, okay, she'll probably be part of that women's tournament, maybe even NXT, depending on.
Have you seen any of her work? Because after I heard that they were courting her, mm-hmm. I looked up some of her stuff. She's really good. She has a good look. I know
excited.
This sounds weird, but I love the outfit she wears. And I love her title. You ever see the title, The Star? It's such a cool look. The Stardom title.
I've seen it.
I've
seen some like compilation
goofy,
stuff,
but it's cute.
I'm really looking forward to her being the one to finally beat Asuka.
I think they're going to put that on that long.
I feel like
you say that.
Yeah, I mean, unless they decide to take it off her in 2 weeks, I think whoever wins this women's tournament is going to be the one that beats her for the title. That would make
I think
most
she
sense.
Could lose the title at the four-way.
Three-way.
We'll see.
I'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't wait to see her wrestle. I can't wait for the women's tournament. If they've bring in, because apparently they've also reached out to Mia Yim mm-hmm. from TNA. She was Jade.
Yep.
Marty Bell from TNA. Both of those, they were both in Dollhouse.
Yep.
And I was a big fan of both of them. I'd really like to see them both in this tournament and signed to WWE. TNA stars have a good track record in WWE.
Now.
Except for that one. Yeah.
I was really disappointed to see Jade leave Impact. Like, I was very surprised that they would let her go.
Yeah.
Because she, like, they built that division around her after Gail Kim left and retired and they lost Awesome Kong and, like, she was a very surprising kind of torchbearer for them.
She's kind of like when Samoa Joe left and AJ Styles left. You're like, why? Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
Hey,
like, I get why for them, but.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Braden Walker.
Braden Walker who? Exactly.
All right, so that's all the news we got. Now let's talk about Stride. Allie and I didn't get to watch it.
Nope.
Which is sad. This is the second one we've missed, mostly because she had to work.
Yeah.
And she's my ride. So if you want to donate to because the Get Shannon Young a Ride.
Because we definitely didn't have an extra seat open.
So you said it was a good event, though.
It was awesome.
Really, it makes me sad because I really wanted to see the Roger Mathis versus Heath Hatton match. Well, I wanted to see Dexter Roswell because I've become such a big fan of the DR Party. Not that guy he's with, though. The little smart ass with no sleeves.
Richards.
I'm going to get that guy.
If it makes you feel any better, you missed an amazing TLC match.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It does. You know what I was doing?
Not seeing an amazing TLC
I don't remember.
Match. You could have been
we remember.
It. Yeah.
But yeah,
so tell us about the event.
So I want to start off with the setup because this was the most like legit looking setup. Like I can't get over how good it was because like in the CMA dojo they have that real low ceiling, so they have to use that lower ring,
right?
And there's no guardrails or anything. It's just, you know, kind of a few rows of chairs. There were metal guardrails. There was a ring that had the actual like very similar to like the CCW ring. The way that they had the posts up above the turnbuckles for the title to hang down from.
Mm-hmm.
They also had an entrance ramp. They had a lighting rig. They had their own video screen. Like it was, and all of the wrestlers had their own like videos and graphics and stuff. Lane came out to Sexy Boy. And there was a video of him doing the ropes.
It was pretty much just a gif.
I need to see that.
Yeah, it was, so like the presentation was just like walking in. I had no idea what to expect since this was a fundraiser for, tornado relief.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so having the event take place in an actual school was just like, oh, that's kind of odd, but let's, see how it goes. And it was the coolest setup.
I would say the only like, AC Braze, Pickneyville.
Pickneyville
is just a little bit below the AC Braze.
Just
arena.
The setup of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. it's just a little bit below it.
But for Stride, because it is a very very homegrown federation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just the way like it looked amazing. Like Ace and I just both kind of like we looked at each other. Because it was fancy.
Yeah.
It was really really.
The only thing that they could have added were guardrails around the entrance ramp because there was a lot of small children. Running back and forth, like, and so instead of walking all the way or like around the ring, they were just cutting across the ramp, which I was like, stop.
During matches, stop
don't yeah. like that.
Like right before entrances,
yeah. Adults doing it too. It's just like, oh, come on.
They need Big Lee out there pushing people back.
Oh God,
yeah.
Whoop whoop.
Ninja.
So the first match was JD beat Dexter Roswell. So it was super exciting to see JD come back.
Came back so quick, too.
Yeah.
That just shows you the tenacity of
him,
young man.
We talked to him after the show, and he's like, yeah, they said I wouldn't be able to do anything for about 9 weeks, 6 to 9 weeks. I hurt my shoulder 4 weeks ago.
4 weeks to the day is what he told us.
Yeah. And he's like, so they didn't know who they were talking to?
I'll start calling that guy Lil Cena.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So that was super exciting to see. That match was a lot of fun, too. Just Dexter's heel work is, he's such a great smarmy little shit.
Like, yeah.
He walks out just and starts insulting the children.
Yep.
But the funny thing is, like, cause I was sitting next to Asa and I was like, he's insulting middle school kids like they're elementary kids. I was like, they know how to blow their own nose, I'm pretty sure. Like, I think that
also might have been part of the bit.
Compared to Dexter Roswell, they're all subhumans. So it doesn't matter.
But he had, Richards out there with him. Causing trouble. After JD won, they did a 2-on-1 attack, which then Sam, the GM, came out and said, if you want to do 2-on-1, how about we even things up? That's when, Curly is who they shared on Facebook. He came out. It ended up having, it was him with the match with Richards. So he beat Richards. The crowd liked him a lot. Curly. Like, he was an interesting fella.
Yeah,
and he was covered in like Three Stooges tattoos. Like he came out with like.
I wonder where the Curly name came from.
Hey Mo was his entrance music.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've seen him on like the Stride posters, but we've been going since December. We have never seen him before.
Yeah, we haven't seen him yet.
Saturday.
And I think because this was like his return.
Yeah.
So.
And he wrestles more of a comedic style.
Yeah, that was like a comedy match.
Yeah. So he was doing a lot of the Three Stooges shtick.
Good.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a good match.
It was like the crowd was into it.
Yeah, and they got a really good reaction, which is all you really want.
The next match was to name if whoever won the next match could name their own tag team partner for the Stride Tag Team Championships. That was, Farmer Billy Hills against Chris Hargis. Really excited to see Chris work. He worked the bad guy. Like, yeah. he was the bad guy in the match.
He's gone full bad guy, or he was just working more of a bad guy style?
I think it was just for the match. Like, okay. We'll have to, like, wait and see what's next for him. Because Billy is just the most lovable, hilarious in stride.
Depending on which state he's in.
Right.
Yeah.
Illinois Billy is just wonderful.
Billinois.
That's what we're going to call it now. So Billy beat him to name his own tag team partner, which is going to be for the tag team titles at the June 10th show, which is another charity event in Mount Vernon. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be him and Cowboy Bob Orton versus Maximum Overdrive.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bob is cool. Legendary. We met him at, the Comic-Con last year. Mm-hmm. And he was really nice. That's when Terry Funk told me about how much he loved Podzilla.
Yeah. Was cool. Cause he totally heard of us.
But if I was Billy, I probably would have picked Jeff Cobb.
I think there's still some bad blood.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
That match was
Think about that.
That was a lot of fun. We haven't seen Billy wrestle someone like his size and stride.
Yeah.
I think maybe ever.
I've never yet. Seen it.
We've seen him wrestle Flood, but he's still substantially bigger than Flood.
He did something with Midwest Mafia, though, didn't he? Like, in the early shows?
He wrestled
Didn't
Heath.
He get beat up by Heath, the Midwest Mafia at one point? Because I seem to remember...
That was, like, when we first started going, because that was for the, like, Team XXX, Midwest Mafia, and Damage Inc. at the time. Uh-huh. We're all kind of...
Yeah, but I think he was... Allie, wasn't he wrestling Heath Hatton?
Yeah, it was...
And
oh,
Midwest
yeah,
Mafia
that
came
championship
out and beat
match,
him up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, but Chris is just, you know, he's so big.
He is.
So that was cool to be able to see him work with the larger guys.
Right.
The next match was T-Dog and the Shaniac against Tony and Alexa Flood. Shaniac, I think, is their gym teacher, PE teacher.
Yeah, PE coach, yeah.
Which I was super impressed with her from an athletic standpoint. Like, I don't know. I went in with, like, real low expectations. Like, okay, well, they're bringing in a teacher. I'm sure
it's a charity show.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be. But, like, she did the back handspring, like, off of the ropes.
Yeah.
It was clean. Like, and she.
Better than Snooki?
Better than Snooki.
Yeah, by
like,
a lot.
Like, way closer to Maria Menounos.
Right.
Like, she definitely did a good job.
Yeah.
Like, in that match, Ace, I'm going to let you explain it, but it definitely had our move of the night.
Oh, no. Okay. So, T-Dog had Tony Flood on the top rope, and then did the flux capacitor, Spanish fly, C4.
Are you sure it wasn't reverse? I think Tony Flood did the move.
No. I'm pretty sure T-Dog hit him with it.
Huh. I'm remembering it differently then.
He browned out that
I'm like
night.
90% sure T-Dog hit him with it. But yeah, but either way, it
message was... Message T-Dog.
I mean, I sent him a message afterwards, and I was like, that looked real pretty. Please don't do it again. I didn't say that part, but I was just thinking because that was not something I was expecting to see.
Ace and I have gotten to the point at these shows where we'll look at each other and we'll call a spot to each other really quietly. And I was like, oh no, it's going to be a top rope C4. And I hate seeing that move just because there's so much room for error. Yeah. And like even two professionals, like something can go wrong.
It's just scary to see.
Yeah.
Stride seems to have a lot of scary moments where the wrestlers take some high risk maneuvers, which look great.
Yeah.
How many times, Dalton, in that one show, did we pull each other to the side and go, well, nope, here comes JD again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That one where I had to keep getting thrown because there was the splash zone was alive and well that night. Yeah, no. But that match had a lot of, it was colorful. It was a lumberjack match. The school board came out. They were the lumberjacks.
The teachers.
They came out with yardsticks. One had a metal one.
One had a metal, like, yardstick.
And I'm just like, oh, that's going to hurt.
That's going to hurt your bottom.
So Lane got hit in the middle of the match, so they needed a referee. So the school's janitor came out in a ref shirt and carpenter jeans and counted the three.
Is that legal?
In Illinois, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Missouri Athletic Commission would have a field day with this show.
Yeah.
Good thing we were in Illinois and they got away with all of it.
Billinois.
So that which was a lot of fun. I think that was when they went to intermission. Mm-hmm. And then, the next match was, Jay Spade versus Red Daniels. Jay Spade beat him after he did a swanton, as Red was holding a chair onto him. So he just, like, neck first down onto the...
Oh.
Yeah. So that was the end of it. Also, he hit Red with just the prettiest snap German.
Oh. And Red's a big guy.
Red's a big hoss. Like, Dalton told him after the show, like, oh, so you took Ron Simmons' advice to heart, because Red very much was playing a monster heel.
Good. He should.
Like, he, and it worked really well.
I'm glad to see Red evolving more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know you guys are big fans of him. I've only seen him wrestle a couple times, but I also am a fan of him.
Every time I see him, he gets better.
But I heard that wasn't the biggest shot he took that night.
We'll get
there. We'll talk about it.
Is that later? Okay.
So yeah, but Jay Spade picked up the win on that one. That one was really entertaining. The next match was...
This might be a stupid question, but I just have to ask. What happened to Jay Spade's partner, O'Reilly?
I think he was working a different show.
Yeah, because I think he's on the poster for the June 10th show.
Okay, I was worried he might have gotten hurt because I haven't seen him.
No, Joey O'Reilly. I follow him on Instagram, and he is everywhere.
Okay,
like
cool.
He's doing a bunch of shows.
I was just curious. Just curious.
The next match was Maximum Overdrive against the Stone Cold Blumster and mystery partner James Storm.
Yes.
Which James, we got to meet James Storm before the show. We did the meet and greet thing. I got to tell him my story about how he was him blowing the kiss to me and my friends with at the TNA House show a couple years ago. Was Beer Money was just one of my favorite. Like, that was one of the first times being able to interact with a wrestler as a fan.
Yeah,
happened. So that always sticks out. He was super nice. He came out. Mandy was with us. Which she enjoyed the show a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
wait, Mandy Kennedy?
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't have to work, so she was just watching it.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she wasn't taking pictures. She was just like there watching with us.
Oh, cool.
And so on Sunday, she was like, yeah, if anyone would have told me I would have been at a wrestling show by choice, like, I would have never believed you, but.
We hooked her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
but she saw James Storm and she's like, oh, okay. She got it. Because James Storm is a monster.
Yeah, he is.
In person.
Did you catch the vapors?
I did.
Who didn't?
Yeah, I've met him twice. I met him about 3-4 years ago.
At that awful TNA show in Cape Colorado. Mm-hmm.
And then I met him here both times. Just the nicest dude. Super cool.
Of TNA, by the way, not the wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to point that out. I don't want to make it sound like I said it was awful because they were bad.
Yeah, it was because TNA didn't
the
get
decisions
the
decisions were bad.
They didn't get the licenses for them to actually wrestle. At wrestling.
But the wrestling was great.
Both times I met him, he's a super cool guy.
I really wanted to meet Tyrus. I really did, and I don't know why. Just because I wanted to just like stare into the eyes of a dead soul instead of the mirror.
This is another match where Stone Cold Blumster, like, he very clearly has had significant amount of training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this wasn't just like, oh, hey, so here in like 2 weeks we're going to do this thing. Like, he was good.
Yeah.
Like, he did a lot more. He did more than like Shaniac, but also like the stuff that he did was pretty clean.
Crisp. Yeah, he didn't do anything. Like, he's another one of the teachers at the school.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, everything he did was really, really clean. James Storm was amazing to watch. He chopped Scott Phoenix a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to break one of these days. I know he's going to break. It's going to crumble.
And I want to give a lot of credit to both Scott and Axe, because they made Blumster look really good too. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't go overboard with selling for him. But everything looked believable.
Right.
Well, and of course we have a soft spot for the Neon Nightmares.
Yes. Did they wear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a headband too. I forgot about the headband.
That matches
which
the
one?
Tights.
Scott.
Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Axe needs to come out with one too.
Yeah.
Matching.
Mandy was not impressed with Jay Wellington Beauregard. She was just like, who is this guy? And I told her, I was like, he sounds exactly like you think he does. And she did that. She tried to guess. Dead on. Nailed it.
Wait, did he get mic time?
Yeah, he actually spoke. Yeah, he actually talked.
I guess it's just me. You see, because I grew up with him. Mm-hmm. He sees me in the crowd and he goes, I can't talk tonight because I know that guy. Every time I'm not there, he talks.
He catches the vapors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I did too.
I do.
To be fair, yeah.
To you. Wink.
Oh, that's why I got that pop vinyl.
Yep.
Coming soon.
But the finish of that was Blumster hit, I think it was Scott, with the stunner and then turn around into the last call by James Storm.
That's
so
awesome.
That was a fun one.
Axe has become one of my favorite wrestlers in general. He's so good.
You missed the best Axe moment like two shows ago during the Fatal 4-Way Tag Match where he was in our corner and we were just talking to him in the middle of the match.
It's like, hey, aren't you supposed to be over there? No, I'm smart.
Yeah, he's like, why?
And that's when Sarah dove on everybody in the match.
He was just like, just wait. And then Sarah dives and looks over at me. He's like, I'm smart. And the whole, like, you do that now, Axe. And yeah. Scott, I'll hold your beer. Like, they're the perfect tag team. I love them.
Also, they're announced at weighing in at a combined pound of 405 pounds. So I was like, oh, I didn't know Axe was 400 pounds. They also came out to Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yes.
And it that was, just...
You do as the Scorpions have done before you.
The more I see of Maximum Overdrive, the more I just love them so much.
I don't want to boom because they make me smile so much. Like, I've never had a bad guy make me smile this much.
Mm-hmm.
At the same show as DR, like, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got some great character work.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
And then the main event was the TLC match for the Stride Heavyweight Championship. Heath Hatton, Roger Mathis. Oh, boy. This match was awesome. I was just, everything they did hurt. So the ring setup was just on, like, gym floor. So every time someone fell... Just, it made a sound.
You know the sound.
There's you know,
that boom.
There was at least 100 just screaming children and overwhelmed by just thud of someone landing real hard.
Yeah.
We heard that a couple times.
And they're both pretty big boys, especially Mathis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just so much of that match was so good. The big one was, they set up a ring in, or they set up a table in the ring, and then there were three ladders up. Mathis put a table across the top of the three ladders, started to climb the ladder, like get on the platform to seemingly grab the championship. Heath came back from just the nastiest. Was that after one of the chair?
Oh, what did he do? He took
chair shots?
I was trying to take notes, but then for this match, I just started watching.
Mm-hmm. He came back from a big move, so he started fighting
up. Like, from on the outside. It was one of those, like, where we heard the really gross sound.
Oh, yeah, because that was the opposite end of us. So we didn't really know what happened. But, like, when we say that they set up these three ladders and tables, this was set up for a good 3 minutes. So Ace and
I... Yeah, for a while. We're sitting here, like, just trying to, like, we're trying to figure out what's about to happen.
Yeah, so he starts climbing up the turnbuckle to get onto the table. Mathis does. And I look at... Oh, no. Mathis was going straight up. He was going up the turnbuckle. That's right.
And we both look at each other. We solved the problem at the same time, and we hated the answer.
Yeah.
Because just like, oh, this is scary. So Heath charges across the table platform, shoving Mathis off of the top through the table and the ring.
So run, table, spear.
Mm-hmm.
Heath dumps out to the outside because that's what happens with momentum.
Yeah.
And Mathis just lands on a table, but he doesn't land horizontally. He lands flush with the table, which is always my least favorite.
Did it break?
Yeah.
It broke. He's not Sasha Banks. It broke hard. And then at that moment, we then had, like the match was getting towards the end. We have a Mafia member. Apparently that's, even though Jake left, that's still a thing. Midwest Mafia is still going strong. Red Daniels comes out. And proceeds to attack Hatton on the outside, and he throws him into one of the barricades, and he's about to attack, and then
turns around,
and then just this girl should just be in the Olympics for archery because she threw a bottle, and it was a full bottle, and it hit him right in the teeth.
Tell me, it was a plastic bottle.
Yeah, it was a plastic bottle.
No, yeah. This was at a school; they weren't selling.
Yeah, so she throws a bottle and it hits him square in the mouth.
What comes in non-plastic bottles?
I love bottle Pepsi, bottle Coke. I mean,
it was a plastic bottle. So yeah, it hits him square in the mouth.
James Storm was there.
And I talked to Red after the show, and he said, "Well, that was just unfortunate for Hatton because it just made me hit him harder."
Oh, yes.
So Hatton,
Jay Spade came out to even the odds.
He gets out. He takes Daniels out.
Daniels is pulling Hatton into the ring. Spade goes for a super kick on Daniels, hits Hatton.
No, he goes for a super kick on Mathis, hits Hatton.
Oh, that's right.
Mathis then does a wheel kick, hits Spade, and then goes up and gets the title.
Spade,
so, yeah.
Well, Spade kicks Hatton accidentally, puts him through. There was another table on the outside, so Hatton fell from the apron through another table.
So we heard the table break, and then we got to hear that amazing hardwood sound again.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like this should not have been a match for kids.
No, it wasn't, over the top. It was just,
sounds fairly over the top.
It was intense, but it wasn't, you know,
no blood.
There was no blood. There was no, like, you know, nothing
ultra
super,
violent. Yeah.
So you would go as far as to say that this was probably your favorite match you've ever seen at Stride.
Nothing comes to mind immediately, but yeah, probably.
Dalton?
I really loved Fabuloso T-Dog. That was a really good match.
But it was up there.
This is no. Like, it's definitely one of the top.
I will say if it was longer, the Cash Borden Tony Flood match.
I don't think we got to see that one.
That was that was at the last show.
Gotcha.
Cash. Wait, did. Oh, Cash I'm thinking about
legacy
it. Yeah.
Title. Yeah.
My brain caught up.
But if that one was a little bit longer, I think it would be a harder decision. But yeah, I think this was my favorite match of that we've seen at Stride so far.
I'm surprised that Mathis won. Hatton is such a good champion and really, really does a good job. But I'm excited to see what Mathis is going to do with the title.
And I'm excited to see him chase, too.
Yeah. Because it's always better when the good guy's chasing the bad guy. That's classic wrestling mental thoughts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mental thoughts. I really...
Psychology? Or just storyline?
Yeah, it's a good writing.
I'm trying to
it's
help.
Good drama.
I'm trying to help out more than what you gave
us. I was hoping you would help out by moving on to something else, but I appreciate that. No, you're good. You're good. You're a good man. I love the hat. So I'm excited to see Mathis. I'm excited to see the rematch. I want to see Mathis as champion. I hope this lasts a while because I feel like he's going to be a great champion. I can't wait to see him fight Dexter Roswell.
I don't know if it's
I need more DR. I need more Dexter Roswell.
The Mount Vernon show, it's going to be Spade, Hatton, Fatal 4-Way, Spade, Hatton, Daniels, Mathis for the title.
Yeah, because they've already got the next show announced. And when is the next show?
Okay, so I'm...
There's two shows coming up.
Yeah, there's a show June 3rd.
Which that's going to be at the dojo.
It's going to be back at the mall. It's not going to be at the CMA dojo.
The mall, this which is declared new... bankruptcy today.
Yes, but apparently this won't affect them because they're in the Pirate Pete area.
Building. It's in its own,
So, yeah. But no, so apparently they have a show June 3rd. And then they're immediately doing another show June 10th.
Right.
Which that's the one that we have the card for, or the poster for.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they have a returns poster, and then they have their match poster.
And we'll go
I don't think I've seen the returns one.
And we'll go over this stuff in the next coming weeks, you know, because we'll obviously give a big preview for the Stride show, because it's become, like CCW, just one of our favorite things to go to, and it's great wrestling.
Every guy there is super friendly to us. Like,
And that's the craziest thing, is like how respectful and wonderful these guys are.
This was the show.
And just great talent.
And like this show was kind of weird for us because we got to talk to Red a little bit after, we got to talk to JD a little bit after, but like we didn't get to talk to Billy after for the first time. Sarah wasn't
the whole
there.
Reason we went to Stride in the first place.
Yeah, because Sarah, because he wanted us to be able to see him and Sarah be good guys.
Yeah.
But so I got to I actually got to talk to T-Dog just in passing a little bit. We got to say hi to Kevin Huntsberger, their announcer. Talked to Sam for a minute.
Sam's always their GM. Sam's always a polite to talk to.
Yeah,
we've been talking
nice.
A lot to Dexter.
Yeah.
And the DR party a lot lately. They're just super nice guys.
But like so, but this show, like the only downside to this show for me was as we were sitting in the crowd before the show starts, and they're like, "Hey, for $1, elementary kids can come jump off the top turnbuckle onto a crash pad," and I was like, "What about Kids at Heart?" Because I want to do that. But we kind of had this realization that we're probably the only people here to see. Just the wrestling show.
Yeah.
Cause everyone else there either attended the school, worked at the school, family of someone who was like at the school.
It was us and then the two dudes that sat right in front of us who we were talking to the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like it was, we were obviously the four that are always going to Stride.
Right.
I mean, there was other people, but they were people that went to, that go to that school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, I was like, oh, this feels kind of weird. Like this, it feels like we're crashing a school event.
And Stride is always a different feeling than CCW.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they each have their own atmosphere. Mm-hmm. They have their own feel to it, and I like that.
Yeah.
It's
not
like we're just going to another indie show.
Yeah.
Like, they have their own feel, and they're both fantastic, and you should support both.
Like, not like that's a negative.
Not at all.
It felt weird, like, being, like, a grown-up surrounded by that many kids, like, cause we tried a couple times to really kind of get, like, to get some chance going, but it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Because the kids were making their own noise.
Oh, yeah.
So we decided, like, after the first or second match, like, well, we're going to be loud and we're going to support our guys, but, you know, we're going to
take them the night off.
There's no reason for us to try to, you know, kind of, they didn't need us there.
That's becoming more and more at these shows. Like, CCW, when we first got there, we were leading the chants all the time.
Yeah.
Now everybody chants. Everybody's loud. And with Stride, people are getting louder. Everyone's loud. And that's great. But it kind of makes us feel like we want to be
important. No, I love it.
No, yeah. I would rather it be that we don't have to because.
That we could just enjoy the show.
Yeah. I mean, that and just, I like, you know, these guys and these men and women just work so hard that, you know, I almost feel bad. Like, okay, well, if we don't and no one does, then
it's quiet.
Yeah, it's quiet, and they deserve better than that.
Absolutely.
So it's I'm much relieved to see that no, people are getting invested and rewarding this hard work that they're doing.
Yeah, when you go to a wrestling show, be loud.
Yeah,
be loud. That's the whole point. Don't be a jerk, but be loud and support these guys. And we will continue to preview the Stride shows. We'll talk about the next upcoming two shows. We also have CCW to talk about. Their show is on the 20th
next week.
Yeah, so
Ooh, we need to start getting a guest, maybe, possibly.
Of course, we'll talk about it after show. But we got to get out of here for now. We're done for tonight. Unless you guys got anything last thing you want to add about the Stride show or anything. You gave a good review. I just, if there's anything,
no,
I don't want
to
cut you off.
It was great. It's one of those things where we want to, we just, you know, support local wrestling or support indie wrestling.
Absolutely.
There's a bunch of shows that run in St. Louis. I know we're trying to look up some more of the Glory Pro stuff, which is Michael Elgin's.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff in Arkansas. There is, I think there might be a show every single night of every single week in Tennessee.
Yeah.
from what I see on Facebook.
No matter where you are, there is local wrestling.
There's going to be something, even if it's an hour or two away, like it's worth the trip. Yep. Just, you know, you never know when you're, well, I do know that you're never going to run into your own Billy Hills because he's ours.
Yeah.
And there's no one else like him, but you know, you're going to find something that you love.
Your version
yeah.
of
yeah,
Billy
Hills. You'll find your version.
Listen to us talk about it and just the fun stories we have. Like,
we don't get paid for this.
No,
nobody pays us to talk about these indie shows that we go to. We just love them that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, we
respect them that
even
much.
Even like you said, Stride, like we don't, you know, Red and Billy are probably, and Dexter and JD, like those are the guys that we really talk to, but like, and because we have become friends with like Ken and Jason and Lee.
Yeah.
But like we're just, when we go to Stride, we're just fans.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
all we do is on like the Wednesdays before and after. All I do is I text Red and I'm like, hey, can I get the card?
Yeah. But besides that, how we started with CCW too.
That's true.
Yeah.
But even still, we're still fans. Yeah.
We're still fans. There's one guy though that I never want to talk to in those shows. Roger Mathis. He actually scares me.
Oh, he had war paint on this time.
Yeah.
That scares me.
I did forget. It reminded me of like the, I'm going to mispronounce it, the orcs, not the regular orcs in Lord of the Rings, the Uruk-hai. Is that what they were called?
From Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
I'm the worst person to ask.
Okay.
I don't know either.
Anyone that's listening, I think it's Uruk. I just remember they always had like the handprint.
Yeah.
But it
kind of looked
like, but instead of the handprint, it was just like the finger streaks.
Smeared. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, because he came out and we were booing him and then he like looked in our just general direction and we were just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I take it back.
That dude legit scares me. Like, I feel like he's not friendly, but he probably is.
He's probably like the nicest guy in the world.
I think Sarah confirmed that he is the
nicest
guy.
We'll have to find that out for
sure. No, that was Jake.
Oh, that's right.
Jake also.
We were convinced that Jake Capone was like definitely hated us and was going to actually beat us up in the parking
lot. Like actually kill you with a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, he's a sweetheart. He's like, I
Mafia
doubt it.
Mafia because of Tommy the Gatling gun? Guns. Oh God, what did I say?
Gatling gun.
Oh, well, I mean, if anyone could do it, it'd be Jake.
Yeah. Also that.
All right. We got to get out of here. Tomorrow's Podzilla After Dark. We will be back this time. I know we missed last Thursday, but we'll be here this week and we'll talk about some things. It'll be fun. Thank you guys for listening. Go support your local wrestling. We cannot stress that enough. We'll be back next Wednesday with another PWU. Until then, stay tuned for the next shows. Have a good night and we'll see you later.